I think he's ready, right? This is like the fifth time we've done a fucking introduction for this
I'm
show.
I'm never ready, mate.
You are fat, though. ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Yarn Spinners.
They definitely can't hear that.
Yeah, turn your mic up. Welcome back to another episode. Dimitri wants to give out another little disclaimer, so...
You can't call me by my name because people might Google Dimitri and then it'll be absolutely obvious who I am.
Can I just give the disclaimer first?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
We do use a first name basis on this show, so if you're offended by names like cunt, which is Dimitri's other first name, you know, if you find yourself easily offended, if you're not a fan of people, you know, calling it as it is, then...
having an opinion in general.
Yeah, if your opinion differs from everyone else's and you think that that makes them wrong or you right or vice versa, then find the exit, which would be anywhere on your phone or device that you're listening to, and fuck off.
Basically, if you think this podcast is about you, you're quite wrong. Because we don't know you from Adam.
No, or Eve.
Or Eve, or they.
Or the non-gender specific rib that either one may or may not have been made from.
Exactly. Talking of ribs.
Go on.
I had ribs for lunch.
How was that?
Yeah, it was good.
Enjoy it?
Yeah. It was okay, put it that way.
See, I have a bit of an issue. I've been growing ever so consciously, ever so very much more conscious about this mentality. Is it okay to have an okay meal made from an animal, or should it be excellent every time, considering it's a life that you've taken to eat?
So, okay, so what's the difference between a plant and an animal? Both reproduce, both have to breathe oxygen, both require water,
neither
both have emotions.
Well, both aren't sentient in the same way that we understand.
Exactly.
And also, you don't necessarily always eat the plant, but you can eat the fruiting body, which is the reproductive, essentially, the reproductive, not organ, but, you know, capsule. So, it, you know, contains the seeds or whatever. So it's the idea is it's meant to be eaten, like an apple. It wants to be eaten because the seeds are inside and the seeds are non-digestible. So they want to pass through the animal's gut and be displaced further away from the tree. So, right. So, but animals aren't the same either. They're like, oh, I've got a kid in me. Make sure I get eaten so it shits it out somewhere more convenient.
Yeah.
So, there's no sort of correlation, do you know what I mean? I don't find it the same to eat plant material as it is to eat animal material.
No. I'm not saying there is. But if you go down to the complete basics... as you said, both are non-sentient beings, but yet
well,
exhibit...
Well, no, animals are sentient.
More sentient than not.
Yeah.
But plants are also sentient.
Okay.
I don't know why we're talking about this. Back to your original question. Is it right to have an average meal? You can't help it, surely. That requires the person that's preparing the meal to treat the animal or the meat in as much reverence as you do or
right.
One does in general.
Why shouldn't that be the case though?
Because humans are generally, especially in fast food places, people don't really care.
That makes me sad. Do you care?
Do I care what I cook? Yeah, of course, because I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, but what about what someone cooks for you at McDonald's?
It depends. If I'm ravenous and I just want to fill a hole, then no, I don't.
It's a little bit sad. Only on this sort of topic, because I watched... Have you watched Terror on Netflix yet, the documentary?
No, I haven't.
It's very good. Highly recommend it.
What is it about? No spoilers, but what is it about?
So it's actually narrated from a really interesting perspective. It's narrated from like the human consciousness perspective, and it it goes through the journey of our discovery of agriculture and animal husbandry, etc., etc., and our bonds with it. So it's gone from, you know, ploughing the earth with our hands and hand planting every seed and culturing it ourselves to having multi-million acre farms that are all digitally manufactured, do you know what I mean? Like looked after via AI and whatever. So it's really interesting, and it also does it with, you know, livestock, and it's gone from, you know, hand rearing these animals and taking care of them yourself, basically being part of the family, to just being this commodity that we never see face to face, and we just find it on a shelf in a supermarket.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. It's quite harrowing as well, actually. It's quite upsetting in some scenes.
So have you found your meat intake has now decreased since you've become a bit more conscious of this fact?
Well, I've been a vegetarian for a long time.
Right.
So
what's stopping you from going full on vegan?
Actually, nothing is stopping me. I had this discussion with my girlfriend today, thinking about the possibility of going vegan.
Right.
Not one of those. I still eat eggs and things like that because.
Sure.
Chicken's going to lay eggs one way or the other. So as long as you can get some very well looked after chickens, do you know what I mean? Like I get chickens from my mum and dad eggs from mum and dad because they have chickens. And if not, I try and buy organic because I know that those chickens are well looked after.
Okay. So what prompted you to go into vegetarianism in the first place?
Well, my mother was always a vegetarian, so it was never a problem. Yeah, she's been a veggie since she was about 12.
Interesting. How come? Animal welfare or just didn't like...
Yeah, she just... a combination of both, I guess. She didn't like to eat meat. She found it flavourless. And also, she has a really high empathy level. So she always felt very sorry for the animal.
Right. No, fair enough. I mean, I go vegan once a month every year. I've done it for the last 3 years, and I do find it actually quite nice in the sense of I find a bit of lightness in what I eat. You do care more thereafter where the food comes from. So things like I cut down my McDonald's intake by a lot. But actually, I was reading about what McDonald's does, and it sounds like they buy their meat and veg from quite conscious suppliers.
Sources? Okay.
So if anything, the food grade that you get from McDonald's, especially in the UK, I don't know what it's like in America, but definitely in Europe and the UK specifically, because I'm here instead of anywhere else in the EU, it does sound like their produce is actually quite high standard.
Yeah.
Now, whether those farms have been created by cutting down loads of forestry, well, that's a different question. But from my understanding and reading, the welfare that the animals get from the suppliers to McDonald's is actually quite good.
Yeah. I mean, even if it is good, it's still a vast amount of, you know, deforestation or, you know, bigger pasture lands.
That's true.
So, you know, I think... I just feel like some people could be more conscientious about where their food comes from. Even if they want to eat meat, do you know what I mean? I just think that... I'd love to know what the annual wastage of just the UK-based fast food merchants are, or is.
Well, I've signed up to an app called Too Good To Go.
Okay.
This is Plug.
Oh, okay, right.
Have you heard of it?
No, but I can guess where you're going with it.
So this is from your local cafes, restaurants, eateries, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they prepare a box of anything that's left over.
Yeah.
So say a hotel puts on a breakfast, which is normally bulk made. and there's a lot of breakfast items that are remaining at the end of the breakfast time, which is normally about 10 a.m., 10:30-ish. And they basically prepare a platter for you to be able to buy it for cheap. Now, what this does is obviously it prevents or reduces the amount of wastage that is produced by the eatery in question. But it also means that they're not wasting money; they actually can recover some cost as a result. So both
because they're a business. Yeah, they've got to make money.
Yeah. So I think that's the kind of good thing. It's not so much like I've tried it a number of times, and it's not so much that this is what's left over, but it's not like you're eating off someone else's plate.
Yeah.
This is just, for example, you go to a deli, and they have a load of hams that they sliced in anticipation of that day, but they don't sell them, so they put it on Too Good To Go along with some bread. So Paul, for example, is one of the cafes that. Is it Paul? It's basically a sandwich place, a popular sandwich place which sells coffee.
Right.
And you can get some baguette sandwiches, and you can get some baked goods, etc., etc. So stuff that's perishable.
Yeah.
That really only lasts for a day for it to be fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is probably the best way to go. So places like all you can eat pizza, like in Pizza Hut, will probably start adopting that sort of program. Just because
I'm not sure if they will.
Sense.
I don't know if they will.
It makes sense, though.
It does, but you think of how heavy their footfall is. I wonder if they'd actually see a drop in footfall and an acceleration of people waiting for these Too Good To Go.
Well,
deals.
Also, it might mean that they will stop doing the all-you-can-eat.
I mean, that should never be a thing.
Which is actually, yeah, I agree with you, which is actually the worst, probably the most gluttonous thing, or one of the most gluttonous thing that humans have invented is all-you-can-eat buffets.
Yeah.
I just think it's completely unnecessary. And also, as a customer, you get duped because really, can you eat 20 quid's worth of pizza, which is about a large pizza to yourself? So you might as well get just one pizza instead of, you know, and as a restaurant, do you really want to promote obesity, which is basically what it is?
Exactly.
I mean, I remember us doing it as students, and, you know, that was fine because that's all you could afford and you just stack up as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because you haven't eaten for days. But but looking at it as a more mature individual...
Yeah.
At the age of 32, I'm just thinking, why would you? Because you go past and you see people there, and you know, I can see in some sense why people would do it, because you know it's a cheaper way of eating, or perceived to be a cheaper way of eating, volume. But do you really need a kilogram of pizza?
No, no one does.
In one sitting, I mean, obviously everyone needs a kilogram of pizza, but in one sitting?
No.
You know,
that's a lot of food. Do you know what I mean? You're right. It just promotes gluttony, and it becomes the norm as well. So you're just used to shoving in a kilogram, and then you have dessert on top of that, and
it
goes downhill from there.
Plus,
the dietary requirements are terrible. It's mostly fat and salt.
Exactly, exactly. This is it. Like a single slice of pizza from Pizza Hut can be as much as 250 calories a slice.
Mm. And then you're having a 13 or 14 slice pizza.
Exactly.
That's basically your daily calorific intake.
Exactly, exactly.
And then some.
And then you want to make, you know, you sort of the more discerning individual will want to get their money's worth, and they'll start eating the starters and the salad and you kind of just make yourself ill by eating all that crap. And when you kind of think, well, what I've started doing, instead of ordering pizza, I just buy pizza from a supermarket and then heat it up at home. It takes me less than it would if I had to order a pizza, as in less time.
Plus, it will cost you around about 10 times the amount.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You can go and buy a pizza for £3.50.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I did. So I was in Sainsbury's the other day and... I bought two pizzas for £6.
There you
go. Now, obviously, I didn't have to eat both of them, and I didn't.
You did anyway.
But I had a £3 pizza, which was,
yeah.
In terms of quality, probably not any different to an
Domino's
average,
or something.
an average margarita from Domino's or Pizza Hut.
Plus, you can go and have a shower at your own whimsical timekeeping and not
Why
have
is that an issue?
if you're ordering one, you've got to wait, haven't you? You know, it comes when they're ready.
Yeah, but they now have trackers, so they'll be able to
Oh,
tell you
they do. Yeah,
to
I
try
know.
you when and what and how.
You don't have three dogs to contend with to try and get to the front door first.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't. That's true.
But,
But in general, I just think I think food intake, as you said, it will be interesting to find out what our food wastage is per human in the United Kingdom.
I expect it to be huge.
Well,
But you know,
yeah, go on.
I was just gonna say it was a nice little sidetrack, but we had some other things that we wanted to chat about today.
Well, I'm just looking at what how much food is eaten in the UK. But all I find is all about Brexit, basically. But
It's a shock.
if we look at the US, which is probably the most gluttonous, I would have said.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, so I would say so, yeah.
So here's some statistics, which, by all means doesn't mean that it's all correct or factual in any case, but it's just interesting to find out what people write. So in a 2012 study, 52% of Americans that were polled believed doing their taxes was easier than figuring out how to eat healthy.
You fucking serious?
Serious as a heart attack in America, which is very serious because you've got to pay for it.
Yeah.
At least one in four people, so 25%, eat some type of fast food every day.
Every day, man.
Every day. Now, fast food, to be fair, the definition of fast food is not necessarily, the really.
It's a bit of a misnomer.
It is. It's not necessarily a burger from Burger King. It could be a
No.
salad
Or
that
a
you have on the
sandwich,
go, exactly. So,
tuna salad, or tuna
I
pasta.
wouldn't have said that actually the UK is that much different.
No, I've actually found a statistic here. How much food is wasted by the food industry every year in the UK? Can you have a guess per annum?
Oof, by the food industry, a million
Yeah,
ton.
1.9.
Ooh, that's a lot.
That's just the UK.
So if we think about an average pizza is, I don't know, half a kilo.
Yeah, at best.
How many pizzas is that?
I mean, how many? I don't know if this is metric or imperial tons, but that's a fuck lot of pizza. What is that, 4 million pizzas?
So 1.9 tons is 1900 kilograms.
Okay.
Right.
So each pizza is 500 kilograms. So what's that?
No,
One point.
500 grams.
Oh, sorry, 500 grams.
So 1900 is 1900 kilograms is 1.9 million grams divided by 500 is 3,800 pizzas a year are wasted.
And that's if a pizza weighs 500 grams.
Yeah, which I'm sure it isn't a lot of the time.
That actually doesn't sound that much.
It doesn't,
I
does it?
thought it would have been more than that.
Is that right?
Are you sure you've done the right maths there? It shouldn't it be 0.500?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
No,
it
because I
should be.
converted tons into kilograms into tons into kilograms and then into grams.
Yeah, but. Okay.
But either way, I mean, it's a shitload of
It's a lot of
food.
food. And
M
that's
maybe
just the
our
food
maths is wrong.
industry.
Maybe it's 3.8 million. But either way, it's always funny reading about the Americans and their food habits.
I mean, we've spoken before about the heart attack. What's it called now? The Heart Attack Cafe, haven't we, in Las Vegas? Some crazy shit right there, folks. need to look it up. But then it's, do you know what's really weird? Like, so obviously, as we've said on the show before, we listen to a lot of Joe Rogan, and the guy's he's crazy on his fitness and what he eats and everything. But he doesn't, I don't think he's ever mentioned that he eats fast food. He goes out and catches his own food. And you do have that mentality, do you know what I mean? Go out and catch what you kill and eat what you kill. You have very different cultural aspects in America.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
What's it like in like Russia and Kazakhstan? Is fast food a big thing out there, or is it seen a bit more of a luxury?
It's definitely becoming... it's definitely becoming fast food, more of a
commodity.
More of a your usual diet. It's starting to enter. I mean, put it this way: when I left Kazakhstan in about 97, fast food didn't exist. We didn't have McDonald's. We didn't have KFC. I think we just started to get pizzas.
Right.
So, but not. None of the Domino's, Pizza Hut, etc. It was just sort of local pizza places that started doing pizzas. Mm-hmm. I remember my first pizza in Kazakhstan was a mushroom pizza. My mum and my aunt got one delivered, and it was very tasteless. It wasn't really? Actually that. Yeah, I didn't find it that tasty.
Was that the first pizza you'd ever had?
Yeah. I was about like 6, maybe. But now the landscape is changing. There's McDonald's, there's all of the big American exports are in the former Soviet bloc countries.
Yeah.
And you are starting to see more kids being fat, more people being fat in general because they go out more. People have more disposable income, so they spend more of that drinking and eating.
Could you say then that Russia and that sort of bloc is being Americanized?
Not so much. It's just more globalization, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I mean, KFC is owned by the Chinese, so it's...
Is it really?
Yeah. Yum, 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 or something like that.
That's some crazy shit that I bet probably 90% of the Americans don't know.
No, they're supporting the Chinese economy with the huge consumption of KFC.
And it is, yeah, well, you know, it's a bit misleading as well because it's obviously, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, so they all think that they're supporting, do you know what I mean, the war on terror or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's so Yum China is what it's called. Yum wow. Brands. So the Yum Brands in China, they own the following. So they own KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Wing Street, and Barn Shop.
So they basically own a good percentage of the American fast food places.
Well, if you think about it, yeah. I mean, KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell are pretty big on the Chinese scene, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sorry, on the American scene. Every TV show that you watch, they'll mention one of those. So yeah. You are seeing more, but then what you're also seeing in countries which are sort of emerging economies, they're called, is that they are abandoning their roots because their income starts to increase. They eat out more, they exercise less because more of them work professional jobs rather than manual jobs. So you're starting to get more and more issues with things like obesity, etc. So, yeah. I mean, you've been to America more recently. How did you find them?
Find what, sorry?
Oh, good. well, how did you find their food in general? And
it depends where you go.
Attitudes to food.
So, I've only been to 3 states. I found New York was odd
because
they have to import all of their food, so it comes in like daily. You know,
I suppose, yeah, it's a massive. Although it's a big state, well, fairly big state. It's mostly. Oh, it's mostly urban areas,
yes,
aren't they?
Yeah, very, very urbanised. Especially like, you know, I was in Manhattan, I wasn't in upper state New York or anything, so.
Of course you were.
Of course.
Of course you were in Manhattan.
But I mean, mate, it was hard to find a salad. So.
Really?
I mean, maybe it was just me. I found.
See, I would have thought that New York would be a bit more health conscious because it's
it might be now. It might be now. And to be fair, I didn't. Manhattan's weird. I didn't really sort of mince around and find that many fast food places, to be honest. But
oh, okay, interesting. But then you were in the business center of New York.
Yes. So probably not that. You know, if I'd have gone to Brooklyn or something, maybe, or even into Jersey, I probably would have found more places. Don't get me wrong. I obviously saw McDonald's and I saw, you know, Starbucks and things like that.
Sure.
But I did find, like, the hotel that I stayed in, breakfast was included, and it was
humongous.
Mostly yellow food. It was either yellow or processed, like...
Beige,
you know,
is
like,
the best, mate.
You know, it was like bagels, cheese, pancakes, all that sort of stuff. Dimitri's high-fiving the camera right now, ladies and gents. I don't really know what he's doing.
Beige food is the best-tasting food. But it is the worst for you. So take
it's
cheese.
Terrible. Yeah.
Brilliant. Tastes great.
Yeah.
If you eat too much of it, it's not that great.
No.
I was always thinking about this. If you had too many apples, surely your sugar levels would be quite high.
Well, if you have
too much
fruit
of anything, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but the thing is, it's a big sugar, fructose. It's quite a big sugar, so it takes a bit longer to break down.
Right, okay.
So there's that for you. But, yeah, New York was weird. You've been to New York, right?
Yeah.
Did you find the same sort of thing? I mean, I don't know if you went to Manhattan, did you? I guess you did.
Yeah, I mean, I found New York, you had to pay quite a lot to eat well.
Yes.
So it's not like here where you can get quite... good, as in health benefit wise,
yeah,
cheap foods in London, even say,
mm-hmm.
or you know, where you are in the southwest, it was much cheaper to eat shit food. So pizza slice, which were massive,
yes, dustbin lid size,
yeah, you know, donuts were everywhere,
pretzels,
hot dogs, you know,
Twinkies,
you name it, it's they sell lots of it.
Yeah.
And it's much cheaper. It is much cheaper. Part of it, I think, is because there's the ingredients that take to make that food is much, much cheaper because of their lax food standards.
Mm.
So it's much more expensive to obviously have a field, grow your salad, get it out the ground, process it, i.e. wash it, package it, and then send it out to a shop. Whereas you can probably make hot dogs en masse,
yeah,
fairly cheaply.
Mm.
So I don't know, you know, it's I found their food to be almost too delicious.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like there's a bit of it's a bit of a strange place. Their tomatoes, for example, I found just tasted of nothing. Their milk just tasted of nothing. It was like water.
Yeah.
Whether it's full fat, skimmed, whatever. But things like their pasta dishes were really tomato-y.
Yeah.
And really sort of almost like a not a stereotype, but like the a perfect example of what tomato sauce for pasta would be.
Yeah.
You know, their chicken was really chickeny, and you started to think, well, is that actually what chicken tastes like? Because in all the countries that I've been to, that's never been the case.
Yeah.
Or is that
you wonder if it's some sort of additive or...
Exactly. Or is that just because you add shit to your food, which makes it way more sort of plush?
But the thing is, they put in, you know, life extenders on these things as well, so
the
shelf life goes up.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, the other thing I found that was bizarre, I went to sort of like a, not a fast food chain restaurant, but, you know, like a basic restaurant called Baskin Robbins, or was it, Baskin Robbins or Red Robbins, one
Ice
of those
cream.
two. No, it was burgers. And it was buy one meal, get another meal free. And I
Obviously,
was just
because you need
like,
that.
I don't need two meals. I argued with them. I said, I don't want two meals.
But
I just want one.
could you give one to your companion?
I don't think you could.
Well, sure, how would they?
Well, because if there's two of you there and you order one meal, they're going to be like, well, you need to order two. And there's two
Oh,
asses
so
are
it's a
down.
sit-in restaurant rather than sort of
Yeah,
take
yeah,
away.
yeah, yeah.
Right,
No,
okay.
sit in, yeah, sit in. It was just bizarre. I did not want it. I did not want two meals.
Yeah, they sort of, their portions are massive. They give food
Huge.
away.
Yeah.
I just found it extremely gluttonous. And like you said, good food was, it wasn't that it was hard to find, but it was very expensive.
It was extremely
Like, you
expensive.
want to eat a good rocket salad in an Italian restaurant, it probably cost you as much as a full plate of pasta.
Yes.
But maybe that's because, like you said, they import a lot of the fresh stuff because they just don't have their own produce. I don't know. California, I found a bit more. California was a bit more health conscious.
Yeah.
But also expensive because of the state. I think it's the richest, or one of the richest states in the United States of America.
Yeah.
So it was generally more expensive. But you could still find your dollar pizza slices
Oh yeah,
and
for sure.
whatever, and donuts for 50 cents, and you know.
I found the seafood a lot better in California.
Yeah. But you'd kind of expect that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
Given
for
who
sure.
lives there and etc. etc.
Yeah.
But anyway, you wanted to discuss something. Oh, by the way, did you see that 100 Islamic State supporters have escaped jail since America has exited?
Wow. No, I hadn't read that.
Good move by Trump.
I don't understand what he's doing, because he was pulling out and then he was telling people, well, telling the Turks, you're not supposed to go and attack, otherwise we'll come and, we'll annihilate your economy. But the
But
Turks weren't attacked anyway.
that was only if they attacked the Kurds.
Right. Not Syria itself, then.
No, so they can act as the peace force, but they can't marginalize the Kurds, the Kurdish forces.
What do you think he's doing here?
Well, I think he made a pledge to the people when he was elected that he will take them out of needless wars, and he has done. Whether that's good for. So you can't fault him for delivering on what he said he would do. You really
No,
can't. And
no.
actually, everything that he said he would do, he tried to do and he was stopped, or he did it. So the Muslim ban, for example, which has
Yeah.
been swiftly reformed into terrorist ban,
Yeah.
which basically included only the Muslim countries, as well as like one or two countries from the South Americas or something.
It's basically a Muslim ban just without the tag on
Disc
it.
exactly, disguised as something else. He's done that. He has, whether by design or not, he promised lower unemployment rates and higher economic growth, which is delivered on. Whether that was actually set by Obama and then he just basically is reaping the rewards of it is a different question.
Yeah.
He said he was going to build the wall, and the Senate has allocated some funds for that.
Yeah.
So he has done what he said he would do. It's just what he said he would do was quite diabolical in some ways.
And he still got elected.
Well, but that's why I think he'll get elected again.
You think?
I think there's. Well, look who's on the other side. Bernie Sanders. I love Bernie, but he's like 80 and he's not of great health. I think he was taken to hospital maybe a week ago,
Okay.
or this week. You got Ocasio-Cortez. She's brilliant. She's young. She's a woman of of Latin descent, etc., etc. So it's really popular with like 20% of the country.
Yep.
But she'll never get the full 51, whatever required. For example, she might get New York, and she might get California.
Yeah.
But she won't get Idaho.
Or Chicago.
Or Chicago, yeah. You know, or...
Texas?
Or the belt. No, I don't think she would. Because she's, you know, she might get the Latino vote. Yeah,
she'd probably get Oregon.
Yeah, because they're very liberal. Yeah. But we're talking about the Bible Belt, the Midwest states.
Yeah, yeah. Louisiana.
They'll never look at her as a potential candidate to represent their concerns.
This is the difficult thing with the US is you have so very many different people there. It's such a disparate country. Mm. It's difficult to please the masses, really.
It is. You kind of... And this is where what Trump did was actually quite clever, is he didn't say, I'm going to just please the liberal vote. He said, right, who is the average guy in the States? It's not someone who lives in New York.
No. No, you are right. Like, the guy has gone about it very cleverly, and you can't fault him for it. But you just have to kind of hope that the US is going to look at what they've done, look at what he's achieved, or, you know, not really achieved. Do you know what I mean? Look at how he's behaved politically, and you just kind of have to slap yourself on the wrist.
But I don't think people care. I think a lot of... Look at the average guy, right? And it shows you what the normal America is like. Normal America is actually not that rich.
No.
Normal America is not that happy with the way that things are going in the country. The majority of people probably live in those mid-states anyway.
Mm.
There might be a lot of, you know, those southern states. So yes, there's a large population in New York and on the coast, because traditionally that would have been a very popular destination for people to live in anyway. But I think a lot, you know, if you look at Detroit... It's completely devastated.
Yeah.
The car industry is going. The hurricanes have battered it, and it still hasn't recovered yet. The financial crisis in 2008 has caused a lot of people to lose their homes, and they still can't get back onto the ladder.
Yeah.
And I think what America is almost a victim of its own success.
Well, you think it blew up too quick.
It's more that it promises people, you know, riches and...
The American dream.
Exactly, the American dream, that anything is possible. And when it was the case, people did it, and they got to get their house, which was 110% mortgaged.
Yeah.
But now the times have changed, and you can see that the American dream is actually only applicable to... 25% of the country.
Mm.
Yes, there will always be someone who will come from desperation to riches, but realistically, that's one in a million people. So that's 300 people in America that will come out from such places. Let's say it's triple that amount. That's only 900 people.
Yeah.
Out of 300 million.
It's nothing.
You know. So you kind of... I don't know. I just think they need to sort out their domestic policy before they, at the same time as keeping the whole world in check, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
I think domestically they're not as strong as they think they are. I don't think every person in the States thinks that America, no matter who the president is the best country in the world.
Hmm. I think there are people there that think that.
No, but I mean the best country in the world in terms of for them.
Oh,
I think
see.
It's the best militarily. They might think it's, you know, it's got the it's the richest. But in terms of when you drill to each individual person, you take away the nationalistic fever, and you say, or the patriotic fever, I should say, and you say to them, right, okay, so how is America treating you, Mr.
Joe Bloggs?
Well, not even. If you go to specifics, so Mr. Veteran, how is America treating you? Well,
okay.
You know, I've been basically, I've been shot, I've got PTSD, and the government's not doing anything for me. In fact,
I've been forgotten.
Yeah, like, I'm just forgotten. Okay, cool. Well, sorry to hear about that. What about you, Mr. Factory Worker in Detroit? Well, they've shut down all the car production factories, so I don't have anything to work on. Right, okay, cool. So what about you, the guy that, you know, bought a house? Well, so there's a lot of things.
Yeah, when you go down to the finer details, yeah, when you take it apart from being a living mass and go into the individual person, you're quite right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is to do with education. I think a lot of it is to do with opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure this whole liberal agenda of all-inclusivity is actually working that well. You try and tell someone that they've got white privilege when they're fucking living in a trailer park. You try and tell someone that someone's got racial privilege when they're living in a trailer park.
Yeah.
Or, you know, gender privilege when, you know, the difference between them and anyone else is actually non-existent.
Speaking about gender privilege, did you see the thing that they've done in Portland, Oregon? Did you see this post by Joe Rogan?
No.
Where they've made, I think they spent an extortionate amount of money on this building making gender-neutral toilets. So they're like urinals with seats on them, essentially.
Nope, haven't seen that.
Well, what do you think to the idea? Let me try and find the article whilst you ponder the idea.
I mean, I don't have an issue with that. I just think the question always has to be, what are we trying to achieve? Is it parity for everyone to be equal? That's never going to happen. And not because, you know, there's discrimination. It's just naturally that's not what people are like. We like to elevate ourselves as if we are much better than animals.
Here we go. So this is the article. It's a reasonable idea, but the way they worded it is terrible. The city of Portland has banned urinals in the $195 million remodel of the Portland building, which houses administrative offices for the city. While urinals use less water than toilets, they are a relic of a bygone era when men and women were recognized as biologically different.
See, what I don't understand is why not have cubicles for everyone and not have isolated men and women, you just have cubicles.
Yeah, but I mean, what do you think to the wording there? Let me just read that little bit to you again. A relic... recognized when men and women were recognized as a biologically different. They still are.
Oh, mate. I mean, look, put it this way, right? People are, for whatever reason, are really concerned about this issue. Which is great, and people should be, but why can we not do the same for education?
Yeah.
Or for
I agree 100%. Absolutely.
I'm not saying it's a small issue. I'm saying it's a smaller issue relative to the bigger issue that exists.
The answer is there's more money to be made out of a lawsuit for something like this.
Well, yeah.
You can stand to lose more money, whereas it's not your fault if someone didn't get educated properly. But if you're not catering for the right toilet-specific needs for someone who's not quite gender-neutral but erring more on the side of male than female but actually biologically female... Do you know what I mean? There's a lawsuit waiting to happen, and companies care more about their losses than they do about your losses.
No, I get that, I get that. I just think we've got our priorities way, way
wrong. Oh, 100%, they are wrong. I'm just saying it as it is. That's not how it should be.
I know.
It's terrible, it is terrible.
Like, you read about these kind of things. So there was, who was it? Someone in Canada, I was watching a video and then read an article on it. There's a comedian in Canada who is a trans comedian, whichever way they transitioned. And she said something like, or they said something like, someone made a statement either making light of a domestic abuse situation or sexual harassment situation, something like that. And the comedian in question said something along the lines of, you know, we should never allow sexual harassment, you know, this is just the scum of the earth, blah, blah, blah. Turns out that the comedian that was trying to say that, you know, this person should go to hell and die,
yeah,
has actually had sexual harassment issues in the past, which they initiated themselves.
Brilliant.
So they were accused of sexual harassment, and now they are fighting against it. I don't mind that, because you have a lot of people who are racist, who you know, who were part of the KKK, for example, and who've reformed to be more supporting of this issue. However, people in glass houses.
Yes.
If you had, if she would have said, "Look, I've done some shit in the past. I'm a reformed individual. This is not right." Fair enough. No one's going to argue with that.
But when
you bite the head off someone just by saying what you're doing, you're a fucking dick for doing that, and then you have done that yourself in not so distant past. You've got to start asking questions.
Oh, for sure. 100%. I couldn't agree more.
Before we were looking for a topic to talk about, and I was thinking about humanity, because actually I had a lot of conversations with people in general about how amazing humans are, right? This this whatever chance genetic variation from between Homo erectus and Homo sapiens and Neanderthals and etc., whatever that change in the brain that happened to allow us to be more cerebral rather than more physical has allowed humans to go from just managing to master fire to creating something that potentially could kill us off.
Yes.
In artificial intelligence. I mean, you can't deny that. You know, have we... The thing that I love about humans is the fact that we always want to improve, right? No one was ever happy with riding a horse, even though we domesticated horses and could go from somewhere, from A to B, much faster than if we would walk or run.
And then we were never happy with a two-seater car.
Exactly. But we also weren't happy about the speed of the car, so we made that. And then, you know, safety became an issue, and then we improved on that.
And the looks, etc., etc. And the aerodynamic performance and all that sort of stuff.
And now we have... But then we've also had, you know, we've also had some issues when it comes to slavery, racism, wars. Which is why I think if artificial intelligence was to ever be the ultimate governmental power, they would just kill off humans as a species.
Yeah, worst case, yeah.
Because nature doesn't need us to survive.
No.
In fact, if anything, we'd probably interfere with the natural order of things.
Well, I mean, we've discussed that before, and we've come to the same conclusion, yeah, for sure.
I find it amazing how we've come from, you know, we needed a system to organize ourselves, and different people had different ideas, so they organized themselves differently. We had democracies, we had autocracies, we had...
Communism.
Exactly, socialism, fascism, Nazism, and it's kind of just reading about history in general, and reading Homo Deus and Homo Sapiens, and it puts into perspective how people are and what they've done, and then you think about how people now, like cultural appropriation, right? Cultural appropriation is actually quite a neutral term. There's no implication of bad or good. It's adopting something from someone's culture. That's what cultural appropriation is, right?
And making your thing better with someone else's idea.
Exactly. So, I don't know why that's... But anyway, for whatever reason, at the moment, it's got negative connotations. I watched a video of one woman... a black woman who was saying that she hates Bruno Mars because he is everything that's wrong with cultural appropriation. Now, for the record, Bruno Mars is not black.
Okay.
Or he's not fully, he's not entirely Afro-American, whatever.
So he's mixed race?
At least, yeah. Whether he's got any African-American blood or Afro-Caribbean blood in him is a different question. But then... The argument that another guy suggested, who's also black, he said, look, That's fine, and you hate him because you think that all he does is just appropriate black culture for his own gain. Fine. But he's also written songs for Beyoncé.
Right.
And for Snoop Dogg and for, you know, other black artists. Are you now going to say that they shouldn't have worked with him because he's not black?
Yeah.
Right. This is also coming from a girl who was saying that, you know, she would bake a cake when Bruno Mars dies. Also coming from a girl whose screen name is a Japanese... is a Japanese phrase for I love you. So she's appropriating culture to promote her agenda. I'm pretty sure she believes in horoscopes.
Yes, and, probably. Astrology, yeah.
You know, and also, but you know, but things like there's Eastern astrology as well. Right, so you're appropriating cultures there.
Yeah.
You know, you eat Chinese food. Like, if we start saying that no one can appropriate any kind of culture, no kind of appropriation can be, can at all be part of anyone else's issues, then I can't wear jeans because it's not something that was invented by Far East Asian people.
Well, or even British people, invented by cowboys, weren't they?
Exactly. So black people can't wear jeans?
No, because they're not cowboys from the Midwest.
Because they're not white cowboys. You know, it's like, we can't actually... Tomatoes...
Shouldn't be eating them.
Exactly, shouldn't be eating them. Pizza, can't be eating that.
Pineapple.
Yeah, can't be eating that.
Don't touch it, mate.
You know, I'm pretty sure chickens when domesticated in Africa. You know, can't be eating that.
Yeah. How far did you take it?
But this is it. But this is exactly it. And people, like, I've heard arguments that say, okay, but music is very difficult, or it can't be, you know, clothes or anything physical. You can't appropriate art, but anything physical is appropriation. So like wearing, if you had dreads on, and you're a white guy, you're appropriating black culture.
Right.
It's like, or I just think it looks great.
Yeah. It's, if it appeals to someone, it's not really appropriation, it's just personal taste.
Exactly. Now, what you can't help is people feeling anger towards you because you're doing something.
Yeah.
And therefore, as long as your intention is not to be culturally insensitive, so I wouldn't go into Jerusalem with a half a moustache missing, walk around in a Nazi uniform and goose step everywhere. Right? Because that will offend a lot of people. That's nothing to do with cultural appropriation, but it will offend a lot of people because, you know,
yeah,
we know their history.
The connotations of...
Equally, I wouldn't wear a yarmulke and go into Palestine.
Yeah. For sure. It's...
So it's... But this is it. So... But if... If I wear a traditional garm worn by Buddhists,
yeah,
am I appropriating culture?
Yes. Well, unless you're a Buddhist yourself. Probably not. I don't know. It's very... It's marginal decisions, really, because if you just like it, it's not really appropriation. It's just catering to your own tastes.
Exactly. This is it. Like, by saying that... People say you need to be an individual, but at the same time they say you can't be an individual because you'll be offending them. So you have to be like they are.
There's a guy in Totnes, which is a town near me, and he literally dresses like Mr. Darcy. And I'm talking like the cravat and the, you know, the 18th century style suit. So is that post-cultural appropriation?
But probably.
So... Any minute now.
Neo-cultural appropriation.
But do you know what I mean? Like, it's not hurting anyone.
No, so
this is it. Just let people do that shit. Like, there's bigger things to worry about, and also I find it really quite separational to say things like black music.
Yeah.
Why is it? Why isn't it just human music? You're a human with different experiences. It's got nothing to do with the colour of your skin, ultimately.
Exactly. Exactly. I just think a lot of people, and us included, we like to hear the sound of our own voice, and we like to offer our opinion on things. And people like to get upset about stuff because it makes them feel like part of a community that they're defending. But ultimately, there are probably as many black people who find a white guy wearing dreads as innocent or as non... as non-offensive as there are who will find it offensive.
Yeah.
So who speaks for the black people?
Well, I mean, I think that that's an incorrect term in itself. I don't think anyone speaks for black people, just like no one speaks for white people.
But this is it. But when someone says, you cannot be wearing that because it offends the black culture,
see,
that position as speaking for everyone within the black culture.
If I was a black guy, I'd get upset if someone said, you're doing such and such to black culture. Because I'd say, you know, who are you to decide what black culture is and what's offensive to it and what's not? And also, actually, saying things like black culture and Asian culture and things like that, it's just, again, it's just separative. Do you know what I mean? It just causes separation. And it's all good to have loyalty and compassion for your, for your cultural differences, but that doesn't mean that other people shouldn't adopt them. You should find it quite nice that people want to adopt those sort of things, and if anything, just guide people on how to be more accurate with it.
Because it's like the Wu-Tang Clan include a lot of kung fu film sounds, and they openly said that they like the Far Eastern culture, etc., etc. So why is no one? Why isn't everyone who's Asian, Far East Asian, having a go at them because they're appropriating Asian culture?
Well, listen because to their no first album. Cares. Listen no to their first cares. Album, 36 Chambers. There are so many like kung fu references and kung fu film references and whatnot. It's crazy, and you're quite right. Why is no one having a go? It's because, you know, people traditionally see black culture as cool. So if you're the black culture, the cool culture is adopting it, then that must be cool too.
But I don't think they are. I don't think black culture is any cooler than white culture.
No, I'm not saying it is now. It used to be. I'm saying that's how it used to be perceived.
I don't think it was.
I think it was.
I don't think it ever was. Put it this way, right? People like to think that they're very different. Yeah. But ultimately, if you bring it down to the basics, we all have to eat. We just eat different stuff because some stuff won't grow.
Yeah.
In the same area. Rice won't grow in the desert.
What's Asian culture to you?
That's the thing. Like, you know, we discussed it before when people would make a joke about someone who's Chinese and then they're sort of like, oh, shit, can I say that in front of him? And I'm like, I genuinely don't care.
No. But what if you were to think about the things that encapsulate it?
I don't know. That's the thing. I'm a lover of all cultures, right? I listen to all types of music. I wear all types of clothes from different countries. I eat all types of foods. I have, hairstyles which fit my mood rather than what is culturally appropriate to the Chinese, which is basically a bowl cut.
Yeah.
All the time.
Communist party cut.
Yeah, classic. So, you know, for me, as a person who's lived in a number of countries, experienced a number of cultures, has friends who come from various different backgrounds and cultures, I look at this from the side and think, oh my God, what are you doing? You clearly have never traveled to see that people walk around with their jeans sagging in the darkest depth of Kazakhstan because they like the Wu-Tang Clan. Right? You go and fucking tell him that he's appropriating culture and he'll tell you to fuck off.
Yeah.
Who the hell are you... why do you have the platform to tell him what to do or her what to
do? Well, I mean, I think I could be a bit of an example for this because when I was younger, the music that spoke to me the most was hip-hop.
Well, so also, but also the Nazi Philharmonic Orchestra.
Well, you know, again, that was just passed down to me from the generational,
Sure.
you know, that was just bred into me. So, you know, don't knock my culture. But you know, I listen to a lot of hip hop. Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, I listen to quite a lot of dance music and folk music and whatever.
Yeah, Morris
But
dancing. Yeah.
no, but do you know what I mean? Like, I was a 16-year-old white boy listening to Tupac's albums. Do you know what I mean? Walking around, headphones on, and I'm listening to Me Against the World or whatever. Do you know
Exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah.
If some black guy would have come up to me and said, "Oh, what are you listening to?" and I said Tupac, who's he to potentially tell me that's not for you? Do you know what I mean? That you're stealing my culture? What the fuck? Get away from me!
That's the
Like.
thing. That's the thing. Like, people think that they are very individual and they're very unique, whereas actually,
They're
if
sheep.
you look at everyone, everyone's exactly the same. Everyone's got the same problems. Everyone has financial difficulties. And even if you don't, even if you are a multimillionaire, you have the same problems whether you're black or white, which is
Yeah.
security,
Depression, like mental
depression.
health, physical health.
Exactly. Like, cancer's non-discriminatory,
Yeah.
right? Like sickle cell disease, yes, okay, it affects mostly black people, sure.
So actually what you're saying is cancer is the great unifier.
Well, that's the thing. Disease has no issues. Like, there are some biological attributes that, for example, Asians suffer from X and black people suffer from Y and white people
Yeah.
suffer from Z.
But that's because of the various slight genetic differences.
Exactly. It's not because we are all unique. It's
No.
because actually there might be someone white who has sickle cell issues.
Yeah.
Might be. I don't
But
know. I don't know
then,
if that's true, but there might be. And then what?
equally,
Are you going to tell him that he's appropriating your disease?
yeah. Oh, what's wrong with you? I've got sickle cell. Well, you shouldn't really have that. That's a black man thing. Stealing our culture, white boy.
Exactly.
But it's also another, it's an example of the fact that we kind of need to not separate ourselves as, you know, culturally or color specifically. Need to kind of integrate because obviously, you know, if you come from, say, the black culture, I don't really want to say black culture, but you know, if you come from that genetic line that's more prone to sickle cell, well, if you have a kid with a, you know, white woman or a white man, then the chances of your offspring getting sickle cell goes down. So
Yeah.
genetic variability is greater. So it's just a
Exactly.
great example of the fact that we shouldn't marginalize ourselves and, you know, do you know what I mean? Interbreed essentially. It's
Well,
just it's all of our world.
this is exactly my point, is that actually what interbreeding does is it potentially gets rid of genetic issues, like you said, that are passed down through generations.
Yeah.
And
Well,
eventually you'll get
it
wiped out.
minimizes it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
that's the whole point. It's the whole point of genetic variation.
But this is
It's
why,
it.
you know, I don't only really want to have a pop at black people. You know, this is an issue that's paramount in any culture, color, religion, whatever. Protestants can't marry Catholics because of X. You know, like Asians prefer only to date Asians, and you know that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, no, there's less variability of genetics, so your pool is already much. It's reduced by so much that actually, like Ashkenazi Jews, for example, have an issue, have some health issues inherently to them because they only marry other Ashkenazi Jews,
Yeah.
or predominantly marry other Ashkenazi Jews. So what you have is a lot of people who have genetic disorders.
Yeah. And it's completely counterintuitive to the whole biological process that got you here in the first place.
Exactly. So for me, humanity is brilliant from one perspective. From another perspective, we fuck ourselves over by creating
Yeah.
all these rules, which are not natural, which are not dictated by any law. It's purely human-created issues.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people are marginalized because of a lot of factors, right? Gender or sexuality or color or even wealth or class, whatever you want to name it. But if you look at all of those things, all of them are man-made issues.
Yeah.
Class is never an animal issue.
No.
Pack mentality is different to class.
You have hierarchy.
But that's different to class.
It is.
Because
the basics are the same, as in, I'm going to eat first and then you can have the scraps. But again, well, because you have to look at it from a genetic point of view where only the strong survive. So if you're the weakest, why should you pass on your genes? Because you're not going to be good for the existence of my species.
Exactly, right? But in the natural world, it's very binary. You either are strong or you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
In the human world, we've got so many different variations of what makes human more successful or stronger than the others.
The simple way to look at it is, look how many mentally impaired people can survive in this day and age. If you were to get a mentally impaired wolf, it's not going to survive. They're not going to look after it.
No, they'll kill it.
Well, they'll either kill it or they'll just leave it, and it will die naturally.
But you have you've got things like pack mentality is a hierarchy, but the hierarchy is more of a natural order of, as you said, survival and passing on the genetics. When we talk about humans, it's not so much about natural order, it's more about, if you take religion, I don't want you to marry someone who is Muslim because you're a Christian.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So what's the natural order? Oh, because we were never supposed to be living on the same earth together. Oh, right. So the fact that we are is what? God's will?
Yeah.
God's plan? I don't know.
God's accident?
No.
I mean, yeah, the way that you're looking at it is completely, completely correct. We have this... We're both sides of the coin. Unfortunately, you know, we are master creator, but we're also faceless killer.
Ghostface killer.
Just quick Wu-Tang reference there. But you know, it just beggars belief that on one side of the coin you have complete humanitarianists, people who want to save everyone and save the world. And then you have others whose mindset is just complete separational. Do you know what I mean? You can't marry this person because it will taint our blood. The fuck are you talking about? Like, would I go and shag my sister then, or my aunt, or something?
Well, but that's the thing. The separatist agenda actually promotes genetic disorders. It promotes inbreeding and promotes not just health issues, but mental issues, psychological issues.
Mm.
Systems of beliefs which are perhaps not suited to the modern world. So things like, if your family were deeply racist, and they would say, right, you cannot marry anyone that's not white. It's like, okay, cool. So how far are we talking? Greek? Are they white?
Yeah. No, they're olive skinned.
Right, so, but... And I've asked my friends, my Greek friends, this. Like, where do you class yourselves? Are you white or are you other?
And they said,
we're white. And I said, okay, fine.
But they have... Surely they have a higher melatonin count than, you know, traditional white people.
But fine. So I said, okay, but if you go to... What's a really racist... if you go to the KKK and you say, hi, my name is George Stephanopoulos... I want to.
Had him on the show, by the way.
Yeah. I want to enter your club because I think it's really neat.
Club.
your after school special.
I want to join your gang.
And they'll say, mate, you're not even white. Why is that? Well, because you tan. Right. Okay. And well.
Well, you're not one of us. We'll give you 10 seconds.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's kind of... I just find these barriers that humans put in front of themselves kind of... it's self-flagellation.
I don't know. I think a little bit of it is biological. And I think it's a societal thing because, you know, our social groups have gotten too big too quick, I think.
And I think it's a bit too much for some people. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you look at it from a competitive point of view, do you know where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I get it. A lot of it is about survival and survival of whatever. And previously, where it was a tribe, now it's nations, and then it's races, etc. And I get all that. But the issue is, the world has moved on, and yet we haven't.
Well, the thing that I'm questioning is that a conscious effort to, do you know what I mean, or is it a biological one that's got to catch up?
I think it's a conscious effort that needs to catch up.
I mean, it's just weird because some people genuinely hate, you know, black people, or they genuinely hate Jews or white people or whatever. Yeah. It seems almost inherent. So it's a question then of is it nature or nurture?
I think it's definitely nurture. It's definitely nurture. And the reason why I think it's nurture is because if you put a baby in front of... if you have two babies that grow side by side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're two different races, they're not going to grow up to hate each other. If there was no outside interference.
No, you're quite right. There may be one or two like disparities like out of 100, but you're pretty much knocking the nail on the head there. You are right.
Well, because think about where the prejudice comes from. Your parents, society, your friends.
You are all of your major influences.
Exactly.
Even the things that you watch and listen to. Do you know what I mean? Everything is shaped by your first few initial years. If you're listening to country and western and going to the hoedown, and then, you know, for some reason daddy's putting a pillowcase over you and cutting eyelets out.
giving you a match so you can burn your first cross as a rite of passage.
Exactly. So you are right, you are right. But it's very sad when you consider humanity on a global scale, just this constant toil of backwards and forwards is so unnecessary.
Yeah, it is.
Like, there's no... Are the people who are forward-thinking, are they termed as progressionists? Because there's a lack of them, I think.
But then you'd have people that are... You know, you have a lot of people who are who think that having gender-neutral toilets is the most progressive thing you can do.
Not for me.
Right. No, but they would consider themselves, and this is where I don't know how to resolve this issue of self-identity, because I think therefore I am right.
Sure.
So therefore, if I think that I'm progressive, then I must be progressive.
I'm not sure that there's a correlation there, but go on.
But that's how people think.
That is how people think, but it's not necessarily correct.
Exactly. So how do you resolve that issue of people thinking that they're progressive, but actually they're being really regressive?
Well, I reckon you could probably make an algorithm for it. And I think the best way would actually be, ironically, to run it through an AI system. If you were able to put it through a very clever algorithm, do you know what I mean, that could be right 7 or 8 times out of 10.
Yeah, but what would it do?
Well, you could look at the prospective routes that it would go down. So you could look at the financial routes that it would go down, and you could have a look at the consensus of, would it be a popular decision? Would it create insurgencies? Would it create separate factions? And ultimately, could it be a fractious thought? Maybe just a small whim at the moment, but how far down the line could it go to create, you know, a separation?
Because the other thing is that actually the AI that we're programming at the moment takes its data from the people that are programming it.
Yeah, so it's very jaded.
It's biased in the sense that it is learning from a human perspective.
So ultimately, you need to make an AI that could then create an AI with complete impartiality.
Exactly. Which is probably how it's going to happen.
It's how it should happen.
The AI that we will make as human beings with the version one
Yeah.
will be based on our input, and then it would create its own AI, which will be based on more of its own inputs rather than our inputs, and then
And then you end up with Ultron.
who wanted to destroy humanity because we're a plague on the planet,
Spoiler alert.
same as Thanos,
Yep.
same thing.
Mate, Thanos has some policies that I agree with. Maybe not the mass genocide, but he's certainly got some interesting
But
points.
how do you resolve it without a mass genocide?
You don't.
That's the thing. His way is probably the most fair because 50%, no matter who you are, gets vanquished.
But the only slight problem is with his theory of wiping out 50% but keeping it fair, you should probably keep the ones that are more forward thinking and get rid of the more ignorant cunts.
But how do you, okay, so how do you determine who's
Well, mate,
forward
I
and
mean,
who isn't?
if you're wearing a magic glove, then you can fucking do anything. Do you know what I
So
mean?
you're Michael
Like,
Jackson.
mate, he could have snapped his fingers and said, "Death to all white people." Do you know what I mean? Death to America.
But
He could have wiped out.
that would be seen as progressive by some people.
Of course. Mate, I mean, we're not necessarily living in the 21st century. Maybe me and you are, but there's people out there who are living in the fucking 18th century,
But I
but for all
think,
intents and purposes.
well, yeah, and this is where it is that although people say, oh, it's the 21st century, that means nothing.
No, it's as
It
Einstein would say, it's
it's relative.
relative. It's entirely relative. We think the problem is when you think that you're forward thinking, you forget the people that aren't forward thinking or don't have the capabilities to think like this. What about the people who are in the fucking Yemen dragging ox carts around? Do you know what I mean? They're not even on the same fucking plane of existence as you are in your skyscraper on the 31st floor of the New York Empire State Building.
But do you think it's one of those things like someone saying, oh, I'm really smart, but actually, if you're really smart, you'd never say it?
Well, I think it's precisely that.
Do you think people are, yeah.
The saying, well, I think the way of thinking is that clever people always doubt themselves.
Well, yeah. Smart people never know that, that they're smart themselves.
I think you can say with some certainty whether you think you're intelligent just from your ability to analyze and to regard analysis. Do you know what I mean? Like, to analyze data in front of you and come up with a coherent thought.
Yeah, but you see, I'd
But that
never.
doesn't make you smart.
No, that's the thing. I'd never say, oh, I'm smart. I'll accept it when people say, oh, you're a smart dude. And I'd say, all right, thank you very much. But personally, I'd be thinking, but I could be better.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. You think the same as me, where you can constantly progress your own knowledge. I don't consider myself that smart, which is why I constantly push myself to try and be smarter.
There's a Japanese,
Are you just saying this because you're Asian?
yes.
Cultural appropriation, mate.
there's a Japanese.
Phrase?
No, it's a concept
Okay. A way of thinking.
of constant improvement.
Okay.
It's called Kaizen.
Right. Can you tell the listeners what it is?
So Kaizen,
Sounds German.
yeah,
Is it culture
Kaizen.
appropriated?
Yes, it is.
So, Kleitzen, yeah.
So who culturally appropriated first?
Well, I, you know,
That's the
from the sounds of
question.
it, I think the Japs might have nicked it during World War II.
So
The
const
Germans basically said, if we give you Kleitzen, but we'll give it to you only if you attack Pearl Harbor.
So Kaizen is it implies constant continual improvement.
Okay.
So this is a lot of the time it's attributed to commercial companies or companies in general, right? So
Right.
every aspect of an organization should at all times strive to do what it does better.
An excellent way of thinking.
So this was shortly after World War II, this was introduced Oh, so embrace the idea that doing things the way they've always been done was a bad idea, especially when better options were available that would make them more competitive.
So it's the opposite way of thinking for Fatboy Slim when he got that picture of a t-shirt that said, I'm number one, so why try harder?
But that was ironic.
Yeah, I know, but it's the complete opposite of that t-shirt,
isn't
it? But
yes, it is.
I'm number one, so why try harder? Mate, you got to try to retain that spot. Otherwise, the hard-working guy behind you is going to overtake you whilst you were napping. It's basically one of Aesop's fables, isn't it?
Yeah. Which one?
The hare and the tortoise.
Oh. Be quick. Slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly. You've got to constantly improve. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? I mean, look at computer systems. If it weren't for patch updates and constant, you know, operating system updates, then we'd still be fucking on dial-up. In fact, take it back even further, we'd still be in a cave wondering what the fuck fire is and how do we keep it.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. We wouldn't have the need, we wouldn't have the desire to do anything better.
And that's the thing, like, human desire is just, it's a phenomenal thing. You can't describe how incredible it is to be a human and the innovation of humans, and yet it's tainted with these people that basically want to take us back to the Dark Ages.
Well, but my conclusion to humanity, like what we were talking about, is that actually overall, I think humanity is good.
Yes.
Yes, we are a plague on the planet, but that's because we naturally want to reproduce, and unfortunately, we're very good at staying alive and innovation.
And so we're good at staying alive for longer and longer.
Exactly. So not only do we reproduce like all the other animals or living beings in the universe, but we also want to stay longer.
And we want to make it as easy as possible.
Exactly, exactly. So things like, you know, the fact that we eat a shitload is only done because people think, well, why not?
It's a status thing.
Why not?
But the ironic thing as well is, look at, like, you know, athletes, so like Mo Farah and whatever. We applaud the fact that they can do a 25-mile marathon, but that is genetic in all of us. That's what we are as humans. We're endurance hunters.
Yeah, but
that's
we're
how
lazy.
We trace. Yeah, I know we are, but it's just ironic that now we applaud these people that actually genetically we were fucking created to do. We could outrun any wolf. We could outrun any elephant, whatever, because we're one of the only animals on the planet that can control your rate of breathing in accordance to your heart rate. It's a genetic thing, like, that's why we can run for so long, and yet now we applaud these people who do the thing that we're fucking genetically created to do.
Talking of, have you seen at the weekend, Kipchoge broke the 2-hour marathon?
Absolutely phenomenal.
That is incredible.
And he did it with zero drugs as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, so far.
No, it's an incredible feat.
That we know of. But you know, no,
I could have done that 10,000 years ago.
Sure. Probably couldn't have, but yeah. 26 and a half miles in less than 2 hours?
It's pretty impressive. I think another record was broken this weekend, wasn't it?
He was running at, what was it, 12 kilometres? No, 20 kilometres. No, can't be 20 kilometres an hour.
Possibly.
He was running at 13.1 miles an hour.
See, we got
we've got
another record here. Bridget Kosgei breaks Paula Radcliffe's women marathon record. Recorded a time of 2 hours, 14 minutes, and 4 seconds. Beating Radcliffe's record of 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Still not sub 2 hours, though.
No.
Although
so
there's no difference between men and women.
No,
still can't beat the man, though.
That's another can of worms for the next episode, I think.
Oh, I'm just joking. Anyone that's listening, I'm just joking. Obviously, women can do it.
just back to the disclaimer.
Unless they can't ever, in which case, I was correct.
But only time will tell.
Thing is, though, like, women can do anything. I'm not, you know, just to.
Open this can of worms now?
Well, no, I'll tell you why I'm saying this, right?
Go on.
So I had a talk about with a woman about this kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. she was saying, yeah, but women can do it. And I said, no, absolutely they can do. But there are inherent differences between men and women, which make men better at some things, but women better at other things. So child rearing, women probably excel at it more than men do.
Childbearing?
Rearing.
Oh, rearing, okay, yeah.
And then we were talking about things like athletics. And mm-hmm. she said, well, I'm pretty sure that Paula Radcliffe could beat you in a marathon. And I said, no, I don't deny that. But could she beat Kipchoge? Probably not. Could the strongest woman ever lift the same as the strongest man ever? Probably not. Bone density, muscle size has a lot to say about that.
And also the actual size of the person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What she was talking about is complete extremes. What I'm talking about is, okay, well, I'll meet your extremes and I'll tell you the other one. But on average, if you take the average, I would say that men can probably lift more.
I don't think that even statistics would back you up. I think statistics would back you up, and I don't think anyone could argue with you, is what I was just trying to say then. And you can't argue with statistics. Literally can't argue with statistics.
No. Women are much better at gymnastics. Much better at gymnastics.
Well, traditionally, they're more flexible.
Much better at gymnastics.
Can I not say that?
Well, of course you can. They're nimbler. They're smaller in terms of their muscle mass and their bone density.
So they probably have a better centre of gravity.
Exactly. They're smaller, I mean, traditionally.
Yeah.
On average, I should say, not traditionally.
I would like to get an extreme feminist on the show. I'd like to get an extreme feminist on with someone like Chrissy. Or someone like that, do you know what I mean? Someone sort of straight down the line.
I don't know if that works, because we know how that will pan out.
Yeah, but it's the same thing as talking about who talks for whose culture. Who should talk for a gender?
No one. That's the thing.
That's precisely the point. Like, how could you be? I don't even think you could potentially proclaim yourself as a true feminist. Do you know what I mean? There are obviously things that should be.
But
correct.
What does that mean as well? What is a true feminist? How does she differ?
I think all it is, for me, it's acknowledging that there are differences between the sexes, but it's creating a common ground in terms of pay and respect and opportunity and things like that.
But that's... See, for me, I always say, I'm not a feminist, I'm an egalitarian. I want to give everyone exactly the same shot at life.
Mm.
And if they succeed, they succeed. And if they don't, we can have a look at why they haven't succeeded and correct those issues.
Yeah,
either
that's
with
cool.
them or the next generation.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I don't want to take either side and say, no, men should only work on construction and women should only be doctors because they make the best doctors.
Well, I mean, you talk about the doctors. Did you see the pay difference between male and female surgeons?
No.
I'll try and find the page now.
I take it men get paid way more.
You would be correct in your assumptions.
But again, what kind of surgeries? Are they looking...
I think it's the same.
Are they looking at exactly the same kind of stuff? So plastic surgeons?
Well, I don't know if they're going that far into...
So yeah, it says here that male doctors in the NHS earn 17% more on average than their female peers.
See, now that's ridiculous, because a female doctor is just as good as a male doctor, and vice versa. Equally, you can have just as shit a doctor and just as, you know, on both genders. So why should the pay be different?
Yeah,
or do you think that that's a bit
but
is it a grey area?
You gotta look deeper than that. if, let's say there are 10 surgeons in total, let's say 5 of them are men and 5 of them are women, let's say the 5 men are all neurosurgeons, and the 5 women are, say,
pediatricians?
Yeah, pediatric surgeons. Which one is more technical and more in demand? Now, if you've got 2 women, if you've got 2 surgeons, 1 woman, 1 man, who both do exactly the same surgery and have exactly the same success record, then it's preposterous. Then I don't understand why people are paid differently.
Well, according to Google, pediatric surgery work are from premature and unborn babies to children and young adults up to the age of 19. So I'm not sure, you know, I think if you're working on a premature or unborn baby, it's probably just as difficult as working on someone's brain.
Potentially. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if, you know, I think it's a wider scope, so you have to have a more varied skill set. If you're a neurologist or a neurosurgeon, then you're typically dealing with nerves and you're probably typically dealing with the brain. Whereas if you're a general surgeon, then your skill set has to be wider because you could be doing anything from a tracheotomy to foot surgery. Why should your skill set have to be any different? You're still performing art, essentially. You know, how good is your sewing back up? How good are you at restructuring the anatomy? How good are you at tracing the arteries and the capillaries?
Mm.
The skill set is exactly the same. Admittedly, repercussions are different. If you fuck up brain surgery, is that person going to wake up and start speaking Japanese?
Probably not.
No. If you fuck up someone's foot surgery, they might have a limp.
I'm always dubious about these kind of articles where they say, you know, male doctors get paid more than female doctors, and it's like, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I get it. They're not looking big picture.
But what are the studies? What are the parameters of the study that you've looked at?
Mm.
Is it just random 10 doctors and random 10 male doctors and random 10 female doctors, or is it 10 male doctors from exactly the same
field
who operate in exactly the same way as the female doctors, but they get paid differently. Mm. If that's the case, if it's exactly the same individuals with, not exactly, if it's exactly the same field with exactly the same success record, etc., 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 then yes, it is, you know, that should be corrected. But if you're saying, you know, 10 people in the medical females in the medical profession get paid less than the males in the medical profession, well, there's a fuckload of nurses. You don't see, you know, on average, nursing is dominated by women.
Yeah.
So there's already a disparity there because you're not comparing like for like. Now, I'm not saying that gender pay gap doesn't exist. I just think these kind of articles sometimes skew the facts.
Depends who it's written by. It depends on the agenda
I don't think it does. I don't think it does. You know, whether it's the Guardian or the Telegraph, in the UK, Guardian being left-leaning and Telegraph being right-leaning, I don't think it does. I think it sells the bigger story.
I wasn't talking about politics. I was talking more about personal interests. If it's from a female journalist or a male journalist or a transgender journalist.
Whichever.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. There's always an agenda, one way or the other. Someone's going to have an interest in something or other. So basically everything you read is ultimately going to be opinionated by the person writing it.
Absolutely.
Or the organisation.
I personally am very conscious to ensure that people that I work with or that work for me or whatever the case may be, that they are treated as equally as each other. I don't care about favouritism. I don't promote it. I don't... The only time when it makes sense to me is if I... The only time that I can think of it will make sense to me is if it's a personal relationship. So I just happen to like someone better more than the other person. Whether they're male or female, couldn't give a fuck. If I get on with them, you're more inclined to help them.
So my example in this one would be, you like me more than your girlfriend, that's why we speak more.
Exactly. We don't. We speak once a week, if that. So.
You see how upset he sounded about that, ladies and gents?
So.
He fell into my trap there.
Yeah, sure. it's... I just... but you know what I mean. Like, you would help out a friend that you like more than a friend that you kind of think, he's a bit of a dick, but yeah, he's funny.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. And it's a natural thing.
Yeah, that's the
ultimately,
thing.
from a personal perspective, it's a natural thing to wheedle out the people that you do and don't like.
Which
otherwise,
again,
people would be doing favours for me left, right and centre.
Which, again, is where artificial intelligence comes in.
Mm-hmm. Because it removes the personal aspect.
Because it removes the personal aspect, and it only looks at the outputs. Are you a... You know, if we take a business, do you earn as much for the business as the other person next to you? Because if you do, you deserve a higher pay. Doesn't matter if you're a man or woman.
Yeah.
It doesn't know if you're... It'll just have a number for you.
Ultimately, it's a logistician. So it just looks at the most logical outcome of everything and removes all other external factors.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't get me wrong. I would love for there to be a more egalitarian world. I just don't think that we will ever get to that, because there's always competition. There'll always be discrimination.
Well,
we might move on from gender discrimination, but there'll always be something else. Health, height, colour of the eyes, whatever.
Well, I mean, you just got to hope that future generations become more aware and more accepting, I guess.
But I don't think they will be more aware. I think there'll be something else that will spring up that people... Look at racism. Racism existed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, right? Gender inequality has also existed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
And I think it will continue to exist. And I think what we have now is, now we have more of a, not gender just male and female, but gender, all the other genders, including
gender
male
spectrum.
And female, the gender spectrum discrimination will also exist. You know, it's people saying, people online that are saying, would you ever date a trans male to female with male genitalia?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, then you're transphobic. How is that? I don't date a lot of Asians. Am I racist? I don't date any Asians, actually. Am I racist? You don't have a... All your girlfriends have been white. Are you racist?
Yep. Apparently.
And it's like, come on, guys. This is a bit more complicated than just, would you date someone that you're not interested in? No. Well, then... You're transphobic.
Yeah. No, you're completely right.
I don't think it works like that.
No. No, I'd say that you're right.
The thing is, though, I don't want to be right. I really don't. I really don't want to be right.
Unfortunately, mate, that's not how the world works.
Unfortunately, I am that clever.
He is looking up at the sky right now, holding his hands out like some benevolent Asian person.
Yeah.
Oh, is that an art reference?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, I don't know. Where can they find us, Tommy?
They can find us on Twitter at Podcast Yarn, Facebook, Yarn Spinners Podcast. Email us, yarnspinnerspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a review, Spotify, you know, iTunes, iTunes Podcast, Anchor. Leave a message, leave a 1-star review, 0.5-star if it will let you.
Just tell us that we're shit. Also, you can reach Tom on 07765-323-947.
Dimitri just gave out his office number there.
Sure.
Because he needs to make the phone call whilst he's at work right now.
Right, anyway,
we hope you enjoyed this extremely serious discussion. There was no humour in it today.
Don't care, to be honest.
Dimitri has some shit to get off his chest.
Don't care if it's
it's a big chest.
Don't get hey. Do a lift, bro. Yes, I do.
Yeah, burgers.
Yeesh to my mouth.
And Twixes.
Twixes. Curly Whirlies, mate.
Oh, mate, they're good, they are. That's why you're so caramel.
Exactly. That's racist. On that note, peace.
Peace out, ladies and gents.